Now, in my own opinion, after considerable contact with the Nyingmapa school, I would say that Nyingmapa Tibetan Buddhism is the richest form of Tibetan Buddhism. And it's therefore very, very difficult indeed to generalize about it. Nyingmapa Buddhism, or Nyingmapa teaching, accepts, of course, the three jhana framework, the three jhana classification. It's Hinayana plus Mahayana plus Vajrayana. But it's characteristic, in fact, it's distinctive of the Nyingmapa school, the Nyingmapa tradition, that it subdivides the three jhanas into nine. And this is the practical basis of their whole system. So let us just enumerate these nine jhanas, these nine stages, these nine ways, these nine vehicles of the Nyingmapa school. First of all, they enumerate what they call the Shravaka jhana. This is the vehicle of the disciple. Disciple here has a technical meaning. Shravaka here has a technical meaning. It means someone who doesn't find out the truth for himself, who hears the truth from a teacher, say from an enlightened teacher, a Buddha, and who then directs his efforts toward his own emancipation, his own individual enlightenment, his own nirvana, in a word, without bothering about what happens to other people. So the Shravaka is, as it were, the spiritual individualist. He's making an effort, it's a genuine effort. He's trying to get out of the samsara, trying to get out of mundane existence with the help of a teacher, by following the teaching of a teacher, but he's only interested in getting out himself. This is the Shravaka, or disciple. This is also, in other terms, the Arahant ideal. So this type of ideal, this sort of spiritual outlook, represents the first jhana, the Shravaka jhana, according to the Nyingmapa school. Secondly comes the Pratyeka Buddha jhana. The Pratyeka Buddha is also, in a sense, a spiritual individualist, but with a difference. Whereas the Shravaka hears the truth from a teacher, doesn't discover it for himself, the Pratyeka Buddha, Pratyeka means private or individual or solitary, he finds the truth out for himself by his own efforts. He has no teacher, but also he has no disciple, because he doesn't care to pass it on. He's only concerned with his own spiritual emancipation. So the Shravaka, the disciple, has a teacher, but no disciple. The Pratyeka Buddha has neither teacher nor disciple, and both are spiritual individualists of a kind. Now, the third jhana is the Bodhisattva jhana. The Bodhisattva is one who has a teacher, also aspires to have disciples, and whose aim and object is to gain nirvana, gain enlightenment, not just for his own sake, but for the sake, for the benefit of all living beings. His aim is to gain enlightenment, to develop himself spiritually, so that he may be in a position to help and guide other beings after he has gained his own spiritual maturity. And he follows a course of training known as the 6 or the 10 paramitas, the practice of these perfect virtues, as the expression means. So this is the Bodhisattva jhana, the path of unmitigated spiritual altruism. Now, fourthly comes what is called the Kriya Yoga Tantra jhana. This means, Kriya is literally ritual, yoga is a sort of spiritual practice. Tantra means tantric or vajrayanic. And this involves a certain amount of external symbolical ritual together with repetition of the mantra and visualization of the presiding or the patron Buddha. Later on in the series of lectures, I shall be talking in greater detail about these practices, but here, let it suffice to say that the Kriya Yoga Tantra Jhana consists mainly in this external symbolical ritual, plus repetition of the mantra, plus visualizing the chosen or the selected Buddha form or Buddha figure, whether Gautama the Buddha or Amitabha or Amitayus and so on. Fifthly, we have the Ubhaya Yoga Tantra Jhana, And here we find ritual and meditation are practiced equally. Upaya means both sides or equally. So there's an equal combination of symbolical ritual and inner meditation, as well as what is technically called the yoga with characteristics, as well as the yoga without characteristics. The sixth yana is what we call the yoga tantra yana, and this comprises various practices for attaining, for developing a union of wisdom and compassion, so that wisdom doesn't exceed compassion, nor compassion wisdom. These last three yanas, incidentally, yanas 4, 5 and 6 of the Nyingmapa's ninefold scheme, these comprise what is called the exoteric tantra, or as it's also sometimes called, the mantra yana. Now the last three yanas of the Nyingmapa scheme, these comprise the Vajrayana proper, the esoteric tantra, or the inner tantra. And these are, seventhly, the Mahayoga yana. This comprises mainly the practice of what is called the growing yoga and what is called the perfect yoga. These will also be explained later on in the course. Eighthly, there's the Anuyoga yana, which comprises all meditation exercises connected with the control of the breath, with the nervous system, especially the so-called psychic centers, and also the sexual energy. The idea or the aim of this Anuyoga yana is the sublimation of all the different forces, subtle and gross forces, of the personality, of the individual being, in the direction of enlightenment. And ninthly and lastly, there's the Ati Yoga Yana. This is the direct practice and realization of the highest truth without any intermediaries at all. And this corresponds very roughly to Chan or Zen in the fullest and the highest sense. Now, the Nyingmapas have among themselves many different traditions of spiritual practice, especially practice of the Ati Yoga, this ninth yana, and the most important of these traditions is the one known as the Dzogchenpa, or the Great Perfection. And the Nyingmapas maintain, in fact, special monasteries for the practice of the Great Perfection. We haven't got very much time to spend on this topic, but I would like to draw your attention to the fact, or rather to draw your attention to the way in which the three yanas are divided into nine, because this is very interesting and significant. We notice that there are three yanas only, that is yanas 1, 2 and 3, for both the Hinayana and the Mahayana. The first yana and the second yana are within the Hinayana. The third comprises the Mahayana. So for the Hinayana and Mahayana combined, in the Nyingmapa scheme, there are only three subdivisions. But there are six subdivisions, six yanas out of nine, for the Tantra. Three for the exoteric Tantra, and three for the esoteric Tantra. And this fact reflects the practical emphasis of the Nyingmapa school. It accepts, as all the schools of Tibetan Buddhism do, the threefold classification into Hinayana, Mahayana and Vajrayana, but in practice it depends almost entirely upon the Tantra or upon the Vajrayana. Usually when you get a tantric initiation in the Nyingmapa tradition, they start off by giving you, this is of course generalizing very broadly, they start off by giving you the three refuges and the five precepts. This represents your practice of the Hinayana. Next they give you the Bodhisattva vow. This represents your practice of the Mahayana. This usually takes only a few minutes. And then the rest of the initiation is concerned entirely with the Vajrayana. And the whole emphasis of the practice is on the Vajrayana. The Hinayana and the Mahayana are studied and practiced, one may say, in the Nyingmapa school very much less, or to a much less degree.